So okay. Why don't you tell, like, when you met Bernie?
Yeah, well, in the beginning, I think it was in 1982, I would visit Noor in his house, Sheikh Noor in his house, and we would go to the bakery, the Greystone bakery, mm-hmm. that they were just starting. Very small mm-hmm. and very basic at that time. And we would sit, Bernie, well, at that time he was sensei. Mm-hmm. I always forget the name of the wife. That was
Jishu.
Jishu, that's mm-hmm. right. And Jishu, which was his student mm-hmm. at the time, mm-hmm. Because he was married already. Mm-hmm. He was married still to Helen, mm-hmm. and we would have conversations about different subjects, you know, of Zen or Sufism or the bakery. Mm-hmm. You know, basically they would, I mean, they basically Noor and Bernie would speak, and we would be sitting around, you know, with them, just listening. And that's how I met him. Mm-hmm. And then also visiting when he was still in Greystone, in the Greystone building, in the Greystone mm-hmm. House, you know,
mm-hmm. in that Descendo.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Descendo was there. It was a very formal kind of looking Sendo, no? Mm-hmm. I mean, very formal. And we would visit at that time, sometimes, and when they had special celebrations as well. Mm. So...
And you would sit, you would meditate for meditation.
Yeah, sit. Yeah. I was, sometimes I had the opportunity to be with Noor in these different mm-hmm. traditions. Mm-hmm. Meeting different teachers, but Bernie was recurrent, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. they were so close friends.
Right.
And the friendship was beginning at that time. Mm-hmm. It was beginning mm-hmm. to get deeper and deeper. Mm. But as Bernie said, maybe you don't know this, but as the Roshi explained, he came as a part. He came to New York as part of a plan that they had in the Los Angeles Zen Center to visit the families of the students, because some parents had the ideas that this was kind of a cult, you know, that they were in. So yeah. They really wanted to meet the parents and have some kind of, you know, to... reach out the parents. So that's why, as part of that tour, he came to New York, and that's when he was invited to go to Sheikh Noor's program, radio program. And they were talking in the program about the subject of Zen, and then suddenly and unexpectedly, Sheikh Noor said to whoever was listening the radio publicly, you know, well, whoever would like Sensei Glassman to stay in New York City, come to my house tomorrow.
One of Noor's little devices.
And that's how he explained the other night, uh-huh. he explained that that's exactly how he came back, because he was planning...
Originally from Brooklyn.
Originally from Brooklyn. He was planning to stay in L.A., make whatever was needed for the Sendo to be having more people and growing and strengthening the community. And since that point, he decided to return. A lot of people showed up.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people showed up.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That they could handle, mm-hmm. you know, in the space. But a lot of people showed up, and that's how he came. And that's for me, how also I'm very glad that he came because Sheikh Noor was sort of looking for a friend, you know, for a friend, and he they could have this wonderful, very profound, very unusual, very blessed friendship of two sages, I think. And at the time, maybe two seekers that were very advanced seekers, you know. But the interesting thing here is that these kind of seekers were sort of beyond the limited identification with the traditions, you know. Like in Mexico, you would say, ponerse la camiseta, you know, like having this kind of identity in which you wear the t-shirt. You know, you wear the t-shirt, you know what I mean, like the Yankees,
right.
You know, so that's my club, you know. And so Noor was not the kind of person that would wear the t-shirt of Islam. And Bernie was not the kind of seeker that was looking for a t-shirt. This metaphor of the t-shirt goes beyond the robes, you know. This is a metaphor for a limited identification with something, you know, that you can have as well with the different religions. That these kind of seekers are people that are more interested in the foundation that fits all the different traditions than in the identities of the different traditions, you know? So that their friendship, at least for me, their friendship was based on that, was based on non-duality, you know, if we want to call it that way. But if we're going to call it from an Islamic point of view, then we would have to say Tawhid from the point of view of Tawhid, you know. But in a more general way, we can say non-duality. So to find seekers, I mean practitioners or members of religions, you know, some say nominal. In Mexico, according to the census, 88% of the population is Catholic. But how many of these percentage are nominally Catholic? You know, so you have those. Then you have how many types of Catholics, profiles, you know what I mean? Devoted, less devoted, socially identified, culturally identified with Catholicism. So you start like this, and how many Catholics from the, we would have to say 90 million people, or 82 million people that are apparently Catholics in Mexico, how many of these people are in Catholicism looking for non-dual wisdom? You know? So, which is a wisdom already spoken by Santa Teresa. I mean, because it's not a Sufi thing, you know. So it's spoken and realized by Santa Teresa, by, what is the
St. John of the Cross.
No. San Juan de la Cruz.
St. Francis.
St. Francis, you know, yeah. And many other mystics, Stellar de Chardin, etc., no? Many, many, many mystics of Christianity. So who goes for that? So these two were going for that. That's what I was trying to say. That they both met with the same aspiration, you know? And that's why to find somebody that is interested in non-dual wisdom is already sort of difficult, you know? I mean, it's not the majority.
Yeah, no? It's rare.
It's very rare. And then for two of them
to meet
is even more rare, mm-hmm. you know? And for both of them to meet mm-hmm. from different mm-hmm. traditions mm-hmm. and be friends mm-hmm. in the vision mm-hmm. of non-dual wisdom is even more rare. So from that friendship, I think that a lot of goodness mm-hmm. have come. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. books, teachings that are incomparably precious because they are teachings of mystics of this time mm-hmm. and not from 5 centuries or 14 centuries or 10 centuries ago. As Bernie said, you know, the mm-hmm. more you... The more you know a teacher, the less illumined you think he is.
Well, he said that about everyone. He said the closer
you know, yeah, you are.
Familiarity.
So it's important that you don't romanticize, you know, that you don't romanticize mysticism by only relating to mystics from the books. You have to meet mystics of today mm-hmm. and see how messed up they can be. I mean, according to what is the romantic idea, you know, because according to the romantic idea, they should be this or that other way. Mm-hmm. You know, they should not have this or that feelings, experiences, etc.
Yeah.
But when you have a mystic of today, like we have Fariha, for example, you know, then you relate to a realistic situation and you don't fantasize, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter in what level the mystic is, you know, you will never be able to say that, mm-hmm. you know. But I have, like we were talking, I mean, I have met the Dalai Lama, you know, for example, I'm sure all of you have at some point. We were very close in Mexico recently when he went. I mean, that I had the opportunity of being around him a lot, you know, and very close and in the same room and talking, and I kiss his hand. And what is, I mean, if the Dalai Lama is not going to be it, who's going to be it? So the Dalai Lama is a human being like any other one, you know, like any other. So this kind of thing is what you romanticize about, you know what I mean? Like, and when you're confronted with the daily, I mean, I think I say this because I think that we're very interested in this because this is our self-image. It's, we're not talking about the other's mystics, but mm-hmm. ourselves, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That in the degree that we allow this humanness in our conception to be part of it, mm. then our vision of ourselves and our spiritual paths mm. are going to be mm-hmm. enhanced, you know, mm. and validated by ourselves, and our limited self is not going to be undermining, mm-hmm. you know, our experience, our conception, mm-hmm. no?
Beautiful, yeah.
So I think that this kind of friendship that they hold for so long is very precious for this generation of mystics, of people that are interested mm-hmm. in non-dual wisdom. Mm-hmm. They are a necessary reference, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I don't know a lot of people that have invested so much of themselves, so much energy, so much surrender, so much time, so much devotion, you know, in really getting there, and really, you know, experiencing and be, you know, not many people have such a longing. You know, not many people have such a longing to get so deep into it. So when in one generation you have this kind of people and you have this longing, they are a necessary reference. They are a necessary reference, you know, to investigate. And I think that in that spirit is that we are having this friendship
with
Roshi, Bernie.
Yeah. He likes to call himself Bernie.
Bernie now. Yeah, he doesn't use it. And it was, you know, again, like being with Noor or with Mustafa Effendi, talking about the one subject of Laila Hailala.
But he radiates it. This is the beauty. He's embodied it. I know.